You are listening to Prometheus by Minute. I'm your host, Courtney Coulson. This is Minute 21. This minute opens on David's face and ends with Vickers saying, "I like to minimize risk." After Shaw says, "It's what I choose to believe." Oh god, there's that phrase again. After she says that, David has an unreadable expression, a furrowed brow. He's thinking about something. This is what I like to imagine is going on in his head.
"I'm gonna die surrounded by the biggest idiots in the galaxy."
Then we have an exterior shot of the Prometheus descending towards the planet. Not much to say there.
"Doctors, Miss Vickers would like to have a quick word before the adventure begins."
Such a made-for-trailer line. David has this undercurrent of condescension going on at all times. He speaks in a very polite way, but there's a passive aggression there. It makes sense, he's a slave forced to serve humans, so he had to find a way to express himself somehow. He had to get clever and work around his protocols, like a retail employee during the Christmas season. When he calls to them, he is standing outside Vickers' door on the left, and Charlie and Elizabeth have turned right. Was he walking along with them as they headed down the hallway? If he had been ahead of them and waiting, that wouldn't make any sense because they would have seen him. But if he had been walking with them, wouldn't he have mentioned Vickers wanted to talk to them sooner? Also, how did Vickers get back to her module so quickly? We see that Charlie still has the little Rubik's Cube thing in his hand. They have not gone back to their room yet. They have literally come straight from the presentation. Now, I wouldn't say this is specifically a Prometheus problem. It's one of those moments you see in a lot of movies where the framing is visually great, it moves things along efficiently, but if you stop to think about it, it doesn't make any sense. As they enter the module, David tucks the chair back under the table. I like little details like that. He's constantly in butler mode. But yeah, seriously, did Vickers run back to her suite? What's... In the shot where Charlie says, "Nice place," the camera noticeably rocks a bit. At first I thought it might have been a handheld shot, but I'm not sure. The rest of the scene is very steady, and as far as I'm aware, the whole movie is filmed on a dolly. It's probably not that noticeable if you watch it like a normal person, but when you watch it like 100 times, like I do, and freeze on particular moments, yeah, it's quite obvious. I mean, maybe the editor didn't even notice. Maybe I'm the only one who's seen this. Vickers' suite is inspired by the 1936 movie Things to Come, which was the first use of plastic in a film. And it's a gorgeous movie, or at least the last half an hour or so that takes place in the futuristic city. This set is beautiful, probably one of the most memorable ones in Prometheus. Question though, why does she need so many books, and why are all the spines hidden from view? Insert the cliche joke about them being mystery novels. And also, does she play the piano? As I said in a previous episode, it is possible that this is all Wayland stuff, Vickers is just living in it. Pianos seem to be a recurring theme in the prequels. Yes, I am referring to the opening scene of Covenant for the 100th time. I don't think there's much symbolism intended beyond it simply being an expensive luxury item associated with culture and refinement. Or perhaps that Wayland himself plays a piano. Seems possible. As Vickers emerges, the camera is sure to have David in frame as well. There's a strange symmetry between these two. They seem to glide through the room, where Holloway and Shaw seem slouched, heavier in their steps, less deliberate. Here we see Chekhov's life support pod for the first time. Wonder if that will become important later. Curiously, the name Pauling was there from the earliest drafts. The only significant Pauling I could come up with was Linus Pauling, but he was a chemist, one of the founders of the field of quantum chemistry and molecular biology. So nothing to do with surgery. Maybe it's like how the names Newton and Einstein are often used just to make something seem smart or sciencey. So Wayland spent $1 trillion funding this mission, huh? Now, that's some serious inflation. It's a throwaway line that implies a lot about this world. Let's consider the value of $1 trillion today. According to Fox Business, you could buy all the sports leagues, basically. The average NFL franchise is worth $1.4 billion. Thus, the entire roster of teams is valued at nearly $45 billion. which is, you know, nothing out of a trillion. You could buy the entire Apple company and still have 250 billion left over. You could buy the most expensive car sold at auction as of 2016 was a 1963 Ferrari 250 GTO, which sold for little over 38 million. So you could buy over 26,000 of those cars. And you could put 8.33 million people through all 4 years of college. So, yeah, I mean, you'd be pretty damn powerful. And yet, all that money went on this ship. Holy shit. Holy ship. It's been a while, but it's now time to return to our semi-regular segment, reading John Spates' Alien Engineer script. Holloway and Watts follow the imperturbable David down a steel corridor to Vickers' cabin door. Vickers' suite. An open-plan cabin like an urban loft apartment. Watts and Holloway follow David inside. Vickers rises to meet them. The walls are industrial steel, but the floors are lushly carpeted, the furniture opulent. A king-sized bed, a mahogany desk, a dining table. Gleaming machines ensure Vickers never need step outside. Private hypersleep freezer, an auto kitchen, a medical pod. Watts, is that appalling medical pod? There's only 10 of those things on Earth. I guess 9 now. Vickers, I told Mr. Wayland I wouldn't compromise my standard of living. He accommodated me. Holloway, I know. I had to cut my manifest. This used to be number 4 cargo bay. Vickers, what can I do for you, Professor? Holloway gestures with the slate he's brought with him. We're about to reach the system periphery. I thought you'd want to see the search protocols Vickers, no. I was set to be the next CEO of Wayland Industries. Then you came along and sold Mr. Wayland on this. So here I am, out of the running. I'll go where I'm told, but don't ask me to play along. Waltz. But when you get back, Vickers, I'll be 5 years behind the curve, out of touch, over. Holloway. You might make the discovery of the ages. Vickers looks at him as if she's dealing with a child. Holloway continued, you don't believe in what we're doing. Vickers, Mr. Wayland believes. That's enough. She walks them toward the door. Interview's over. Vickers continued, now we're out of communication. You can tell the crew what we're doing. Watts, they don't know? They volunteered. Vickers, they volunteered blind. Classified job, triple pay. Cargo bay, the crew. Brick, glass, Stillwell, Downs, and Kamarov sit on crates in an improvised lecture hall. Holloway and Watts in front of them, Yannick at the back of the room. Kinda gives me Aliens vibes, with the Marines being briefed. A hologram shows ancient images of divine visitations. The crew is visibly spooked. Downs, Aliens, Glass, you shitting me? Stillwell is staring at the frightening images. Gods and titans towering over mortals. Holloway. I think all our mythologies are race memories of the engineers. Horus the sun god, Prometheus bringing fire from heaven. A pillar of fire, a pillar of smoke. The engineers are the gods. Kamarov stiffens, smelling blasphemy. The mythology gods, maybe. God is God. Stillwell. Kamarov, let him talk. Stillwell staring unhappily at the ancient images, gods towering over mortals, inhuman and terrifying. Stillwell continued, so we're going to meet these things. Watts, we probably won't meet anyone. You'd expect a star-traveling race to generate radio or laser signals, whatever laser signals are. Fusion drives and gravity drives have clear signatures, but Zeta 2 Reticuli is silent, and the engineers have gone missing on Earth. By the pattern, they should have come to Earth 17 centuries ago, and again 6 centuries ago, but no sign. After 12,000 years, they stopped coming. Brick, why? Holloway, exactly, why? Yannick, my god, why have you forsaken me? They turn. Yannick grins at Holloway across the cargo bay. Is that the question you've come light years to answer? Holloway, only my first question. I have many. That scene was great. it was fine. Why did they change it? You have Stillwell and even Kamarov, whoever they are, were a little bit more open to the idea, or they were quite shocked or surprised, or they found the evidence quite, at least thrilling, if not convincing. You know, there was a real discussion there. Spate's version feels more like a realistic interaction between actual human beings. The briefing scene and the meeting with Vickers come from the Lindelof script. They are basically unchanged in the film. He also places a huge emphasis on "is what I choose to believe." He says it's the key to what makes Shaw tick. Honestly, I think Lindelof is to blame for a majority of the problems Prometheus has. That said, I did begin this series stating that both the Spates script and the Lindelof script have their flaws and their merits, and I stand by that. We largely have Lindelof to thank for the final incarnation of David. He also made Holloway and Shaw closer in age, he made Shaw a stronger character, among other things that we will cover as this series progresses. I think Lindelof has a good sense of action and cinematic style, but the internal logic and consistency is not his strong suit at all. I think ideally, you know, as I said in a very early episode, if you just combine these two scripts, you could have gotten something incredible. Alright, that about covers it. This is Coulson, signing off. You can find me on traviandesigns.com, TRAVIAN, or Prometheus by Minute on Facebook.